Maybe y'all have never been there.
You're right.
But it won't be long as you follow Christ that the devil will get you or get after you.
Yes, sir. You're right.
And it doesn't matter that you're the pastor.
You're right.
It doesn't matter that you're supposed to be the spiritual pillar of the community. The devil knows what to do, and he knows how to attack, and he will. And so I can't rely on myself. Well, then who can I rely on? Jesus. Him and him alone. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Y'all thought I'd forgot, didn't you? Been a few weeks since we've been there, and last Sunday was wonderful. Had a good time with it. And so thankful for the amazing offering that was received. I'm over and over again, Gateway, you amaze me. Just under 11,000? Just under 11,000. It's over 12, or over just over 11,000. 11,200 in the morning, then a couple hundred got added at night. And I think around 11,500, somewhere around that. So just a huge blessing to come in the offering in one Sunday. That's incredible. And I've seen the Lord do some incredible things. I go back in my mind, I look around the room, and I see many of you that have not been here very long, but I know God has the power to do incredible things. I've watched Him do it since I've been here at Gateway. And when I came to Gateway, I did not have Gateway level faith. So I had to, I know that y'all couldn't imagine that. I had to grow. And the Lord used some incredible things. We came here, and I remember sitting over here in what is the conference room, what we call the conference room, and I was sitting with the pulpit committee in the meeting, and I believe it was Brother Kanan or Brother C.T., Warren looked at me and said, "Now we've got $119,000 worth of debt." And I thought, "Good night." And that was in April of 2017. And that was completely paid in full by October of 2019. We had a 5-year, praise the Lord. We had a 5-year plan, and God did it in two. It was just incredible. He did it in half the time that we expected Him to do it. I've watched Him bring in kids from all over the West Georgia area. I have seen these altars completely full from one wall to the other as kids prayed and asked God to move during our summer day camps. It ain't always about money. I've watched lives. I've watched many of you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear any evil because God's rod and His staff was with you. And I've seen Him over and over again bring God's people through incredible circumstances. If you knew some of the things that I know when I come up here on Sunday mornings about things that people are dealing with, you'd say, "Man, we serve an incredible God who is able to do all above what we think, what we ask, what we even imagine." That's the God I serve. And if you don't know Him today, if you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior of your life, I wish you would today. I wish you'd come to the saving knowledge of Jesus and you would make Him Lord of your life. John 14 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him." Wow. It's a pretty interesting verse, isn't it? This is the New Testament. We don't have God revealing Himself like He did to the prophets. Oh no. He had one greater than a prophet standing in front of them. Verse 8, "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this church, and thank you for the faith that they have. Thank you, Lord, for growing our faith, teaching us how to pray and teaching us how to trust in you. God, I pray that you will continue to do more of the works that I have seen you do. Lord, you said here plainly in your word, if we'll believe you, that you'll show us greater works and you'll do greater works. Lord, we're trusting you and looking for those greater works that you will send, how you will move and how you will help. Lord, work at Gateway. Bless all of our ministries. Bless our youth. Lord, bless every family and every home that is represented. Lord, I realize that there are many homes that are under attack right now from the devil and his demons. God, I pray that you would prevent them. You'd provide help and security for these families and these homes. You would protect them. You would rebuke the devourer. God, you would have your will and your way in all the families. Lord, lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, I guess just the best way is just to jump right into it as we're continuing to preach through the book of John, and I'm really enjoying John chapter 14. There's a lot of good stuff in here. John chapter 14, 13 and 14, really 13, all the way through the end of the chapter is happening over about a week's time period, whereas chapters 1 through 12 happened over a time period of about 30 years. We're looking at 33 years. We're looking at the life of Jesus, and we saw all of that and how all of that happened. But now we've come to a more intimate setting where Jesus is with the disciples in the upper room. We remember that from John chapter number 13. And I want to encourage you, if you have not read this, or you hadn't read the book of John, by all means, get a hold of a Bible and read the book of John. If you do not have a Bible, if you will see one of our pastoral staff, we will make sure that you have a Bible before you leave here today. Amen. But in the book of John, we learn so much about Jesus. Now we've come to this intimate setting. We've already looked at I would call it the most famous passage of Scripture, verses 1 through 3 in John 14. Now we've looked at verses 4 through 6, I guess about 2 weeks ago. And so today, with the Lord's help, I want to look at verses 7 through 15 and hope to be a help and an encouragement. But we see, starting out in this passage of Scripture, a request. Jesus opens up. He's just dealt with Thomas in verse number 5, who says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus tells him that famous verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then he goes on to say, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Jesus, in effect, there is telling them, I am the Father. I am the Father. He was one with the Father. And not only do you know him, but you've seen him. You're looking at him. See, Jesus, as the Bible says, was the express image of God our Father. Now, I like how that the writer of the book of John, he uses that word Father, because Jesus used it a lot. I believe it's in there 156 times where either John the Apostle referred to him as the Father, or whether Jesus called him my Father, making it kindred. But that's just a little side note off to the side. But he made a request, both Thomas and Philip, in verse number 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now, Jesus had just gotten the words out of his mouth. You know the Father because you've seen me, and you know who he is and what he looks like. And Philip, still sitting there in front of him, says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. There was a request made here, first to see the Father. So even in the presence of the Lord Jesus, even in all of the miracles that had been done by him, even all the miracles that Philip was there for, Philip and Thomas both made a request that had to have substantial evidence rather than spiritual insight into what they were looking for. Now, we like to think that we're pretty far removed from that. But when you look at today's religions, when you look at the things that we have, we often say things in the church service, and I've said it many times, oh Lord, move. And the way that I think that something is moving by the Lord is because maybe somebody shouts. Or maybe something happens and the choir is just louder and stronger than they are any other Sunday morning. And I walk out of here and I say, man, that the Lord was really moving today. And the reason that I know that is because I have seen the substance. But seeing substance of God's movement is the absence of my faith. See, God moves and God provides and God works regardless of whether I see a substantial move of God. I don't get to be the bar as saying this is what God's going to do in order for it to be God moving in the church service. I don't have to have an emotional time in the church service. Not every Sunday is an emotional Sunday. Not every Sunday do I shed tears. There's a lot of Sundays that I do. I sit here and cry, especially while the song service is going on. But there's a lot of Sundays I sit here just as dry as I can be, and I walk out of here and say, praise the Lord, I got something out of that message today, even though it was me that preached it. Some Sunday, let me tell you what happened, and I'll just be transparent with all of you. Let me tell you what happened last Sunday morning while our speakers were speaking and this fantastic offering come in. Let me tell you what your pastor was doing. I was sitting over here mad as a hornet, stewing. Y'all didn't have no clue, did you? You know what I was mad at? Nothing. But I was thinking of everything that I could get mad at if I wanted to get mad at. I know y'all ain't never come to church and had that attitude, have you? I got over here and I told Brother Todd and I told Brother Canaan, I said, I am so stinking irritated I could bite nails. And I don't even know why. Here we are, God's moving. God's working. Anytime you get $11,000 out of Baptist, God's working. Amen. Amen. And so here I am stewing and mad and wish that I wouldn't be. And you know what? It subsided about as soon as we got done with service. It was gone. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you who the devourer is. And I can tell you who the wicked one is. And I can tell you the one that causes confusion and brings it. And I know if he'll attack the pastor in the middle of a great service, he'll attack you too in the middle of a great service. Amen. So we like to say that we're removed from the disciples, but oftentimes we're exactly like Thomas and exactly like Philip. Lord, how do we know the way? Lord, show us the Father and it'll suffice us. Lord, teach us and give us all these things. And the Lord Jesus says, hey, I've been with you all this time. Do you not already know who and what I am? See, Philip wanted substance instead of spirituality. Being spiritual is not the same thing as being emotional. Amen. We need to understand that. We have a lot of emotionalism. Now, I'm not saying we should never show emotions. I believe you ought to show emotions. I believe that we're emotional beings, that we're created with emotions. I'm not preaching against you showing emotions. Matter of fact, it'd probably do some of you good to cry some tears every once in a while. Yes, sir. Yeah. Probably do some good to let a little old shout out. Amen? Let one of them Pentecostal shouts out. You know, there's a difference. A Baptist shout is a whoo. Pentecostal shout is a whoo. You know. Amen. Y'all know I'm telling it right. My Pentecostal friends watching online are amening me right now. There's nothing wrong with emotions. We get emotions mixed up with spirituality. And our emotions do not get to dictate whether or not God is good, or whether or not God is moving, or whether or not God is doing something in the church service or in our lives. Our circumstances should never, ever dictate what's going on in God's realm, or at least we shouldn't allow it to. And that's what old Philip and old Thomas was doing here. They wanted that substance. And there are a lot of people that want substance in the church rather than the spiritual time that it takes to develop to get ready for service. Man, you think about the time that you pray coming up to a service. The average Christian, some years ago, there was a Barna poll was done, study was done about how long that the average Christian prays. The average Christian prays 5 minutes a day. The average Christian prays 5 minutes a day. In a 24-hour period, there are 1,440 minutes in that day. If we prayed just 15 minutes a day, we would have a little over 1% of our day in prayer. But we don't even pray 5 minutes a day. We don't even pray 1% of our 24-hour period. And we wonder why we don't have any power on Sunday morning. And we wonder why the Bible doesn't come alive when we read it. We wonder why, when we don't have any communication with the author, why that we don't get anything out of the lessons or out of the Word of God. Friend of mine, we're looking for substance when we should be looking for spirituality. So there was a request there that was made, and here's the Lord's reply. I've been doing my best to alliterate this because it helps me stay on point, so I hope you've picked up on that the past couple times I've preached. They were all P words 2 weeks ago. I guess we're in the R's now. Here's the Lord's reply. Look with me at verse number 9. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So there he is explaining clearly, verse number 7. And then he says, And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Our understanding, as well as Philip's understanding of God, is molded by us taking our personality traits and we extend them into eternity. So we take who and what we are and what we know and we extend them out. And we say we're just going to have an idea of God because of what we know and what we go through, and we're created in His image. And so therefore we take our personality traits and we try and imagine them out into eternity. Well, that's flawed. Do you know why? Because we have sin. And when we take our personality traits and we extend them out into eternity, trying to get an understanding of God rather than reading the Word of God, yeah, I hope you see where I'm going with this. We try and this is why that we have people saying things like, well, I just don't feel that God would do something like that. Or I just don't feel that God would move like that. This is why. And so we have flawed logic applied to a great good God. Amen? Amen. Philip had God in the flesh with him, and he still said, I want to see God. He had all that encapsulated spirituality and the goodness of God in the flesh in front of him, and he still said, Show us the Father. We can't rely on what our mind tells us what God is. My mind is not reliable. I'm learning that more and more every day. Sometimes I can't even remember what a thingamabobber's called. Amen? Let alone be able to know how an infinite God, how an omniscient God, how an omnipresent God can operate. And yet I try and squeeze him down into my finite understanding. That's what's happening here with old Philip. He's trying to bring God down to his level and get that understanding inside there. And the Lord Jesus tells him, hey, I've been with you all this time, and have you not seen him? Philip tried to put his own understanding, his own comprehension out there. We must look to Jesus and his personality. We've got all this. Yeah, there's the outline. Y'all see it? It's right out there to the side in case you're wondering where it comes from. It's not always that small. Sometimes I do it on my iPad. We got this entire word. My Bible just so happens to be a red letter edition. Not all Bibles are red letter editions. I've got two or three that are not. But they have the words of Jesus in red. Now, I've taken time to underline the red in red because I like that. But we can learn about the personality of Jesus by reading this word. We can learn about who God is so that when something doesn't match up in our thoughts with what the Bible says, we can go back and say, well, you know what? It's not the Bible that's wrong. It's me that's wrong. I need to conform to the Scripture rather than Scripture conforming to me. I need to do what God wants me to do. I need to look and see how Jesus reacted to something. I need to look and see who Jesus is and learn about him. And if we cannot see him, we must look at his works. If we reject, even if you reject that Jesus is the Son of God, which by the way, if you reject that Jesus is the Son of God, you are not saved, friend of mine. You're not born again. If you have trouble believing that Jesus is the Son of God, you are not born again. You have not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've put it in something else. Jesus is the Son of God, the darling Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. And we must look to Jesus and his personality and who he is in order to understand who God is. The moving and the working of God is a mystery to us because we have not examined Christ as we should. It's quiet this morning. But I want you to grow. See, a lot of times we think even the preachers start looking for them substance-based things. How come they ain't amening me? Well, I hope you're soaking it all in. I ain't found nobody asleep yet. Yet. Y'all okay? We must look to the Lord Jesus and his personality. We must look to his works. I'll give you this last one. We can look at the result of these things. Look with me in verse number 12. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The Lord's having this conversation with them. And the Lord's looking at them and talking with them, and he says, hey, that word verily, it means truthfully, or of a truth. Verily, truthfully, he says it two times, truthfully, truthfully, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works. I don't think that when Jesus left the earth that he expected Christians to stop trusting in him or to stop trusting in the God that can do things that are exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So when we turn to Christ and when we seek Christ and when we examine Christ and we look at his life, we will see greater works. Church, you want to see God do some great things at Gateway? Start trusting in Christ. You want to see God do some incredible thing? You want to see these altars filled again? You want to see Him pay debts or build or grow or make the preaching better or make the singing better or whatever? You want to see God move like that? You want to see it happen? It's going to require some faith and some examining and looking at Christ to see these greater works. Verse number 13 says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." 13 and 14 here. Now these verses have been abused.
Yeah. Come on, you're right.
This scripture's been taken out of context. It's been abused. Well, that means that they, rather than reading all the rest of this about how that Jesus is the centerpiece of Scripture up here, they take these two verses and they say, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." See, we miss that part. We hear, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." We leave out that part about that the Father may be glorified. See, anything that we ask in the name of Jesus, He will give it to us with the provision that it glorifies God. This is the reason why that some people believe that God has not answered their prayers. Because rather than praying for things or praying for things in Jesus' name that glorify God, we pray for things that are not going to glorify God. They're going to glorify us. I remember when I was first called to preach, I would think, well, I'd preach. I remember one of the first churches I preached in was New Fellowship Baptist Church in Douglasville, Lithia Springs. Brother Terry Marbert was the pastor there back then. And I preached for Brother Terry one Sunday. I was 12 years old, had a little tie on, had my hair spiked up because that was the style back then. And my dad was with me. He sat on the front row, and I got up there with my spiked head, and I started preaching about being in the Lord's army. And I don't know how long I preached. I got a videotape of it at home, but I ain't been able to watch it in years. Be honest with you, I don't really know if I want to watch it. I remember preaching, and I got done, and Brother Terry said, "Hey, that's a good job, son." My dad said, "Son, that's a good job." And then we went to the back of the church, and we shook hands. People come by, and they said, "Boy, that's a good preaching. Such a young man." And I'm going to tell you, it didn't exactly cause humility to spring up in my heart. And I got to thinking, man, if I could just have somebody that really knows something about preaching, if I could just have them listen to, if they just listen to me, man, I'll be preaching in every church in the nation. So I started praying. "Lord, let me preach to a big crowd. Let me give y'all some wisdom. The bigger the crowd, the more critics it contains." And I thought that what I wanted, that to be greatly used of God, would be the guy that was the premier speaker. You know, the guy that had his face on a poster. Now I kind of cringe when I see my face on a poster. I look at it and I think, oh Lord, they picked one of the ugliest guys they could just to get on there. Must have felt sorry for me. Tie a stake around my neck, get the dog play with me. We think we know what we want. We think that we have an understanding when we pray, that if we pray for something, that God will do it because it makes us feel good. But that's not how God operates. God answers prayers that glorify Him. And I don't know that when I was a younger preacher, that I would have had the maturity to know how to pray for God to move in a ministry. I know this, in ministry. You don't take credit for the good things. You let God have that credit. But you take full responsibility when things go south. Y'all all right? We think we know how to pray. We think that we've got this prayer thing figured out, and we treat God as though He is a genie in a lamp. And when we need Him, we go to Him and we say, Lord, I need money in my account. And He never shows up. We go to the Lord in prayer and we say, Lord, I need a new car. This ain't the Price is Right. And it ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way. It's Wendy's, old-fashioned, hot and juicy. Amen? When we turn to Christ, we'll see greater works, and we can ask and even receive things in His name, provided that they bring glory to God and not glory to ourselves. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. When you ask the Lord for something in your life, when you're praying, and it will bring glory to God, buckle up. Because He's about to bring it. He promised us in the Old Testament, He said, ask, see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there won't even be room enough to receive it. My, my, what God can do when we pray, and it'll bring glory to the Father. Then watch this. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I believe the reason we don't get what we want when we pray is because God knows, one, it's not going to bring Him any glory, and two, we will run from Him in a heartbeat once we get what we want. Well, I got it now. What I need to. Now we say, wait a minute, preacher. I don't know. If the Lord gave me what I wanted, I don't think that I would do that. I think I would be faithful. Well, I hope that you would. But when there were 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and every one of them got healed, there was only one that came back. Only 10%, one of them came back to glorify God. Usually when we get what we want, we don't glorify God. The Lord's not unwise. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is what the Lord wants to do in our lives. He wants us to get good things. He wants to give us good things. What are those good things, preacher? I don't know exactly what those good things are. We might have one little person in here might be just praying for a friend. Another person might be in here praying that the Lord will help them with their mortgage. I don't know. I don't know what God's got you going through and what He's got you dealing with, but I know if you'll glorify God in it, that God will hear and answer and bring you through whatever it is you're going through. I've watched Him do it too many other times. Father, in Jesus' holy name, we come to You, thanking You and praising You for all that You've done. God, I pray that You would be glorified at Gateway Baptist Church. God, I pray that You'd be glorified in my ministry. Like John said, Lord, I be abased, You be exalted. God, I pray that as we see our church grow and change and learn, God, that we would build people up spiritually who can grow in You, Lord. Lord, help us to Be faithful in the valleys. Help us in the valleys, Lord. While we're there, grow us. Give us the fertile ground to grow in. God, have your will in your way. God, I pray that you would bless this invitation time. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name.